That always seems to happen, doesn't it? Last week I shared with you actually what was part one of Thanksgiving living. You know, I want to ask you a question this morning just for us to kind of ponder on for a minute. And that is, how many of us this morning have just become accustomed to the blessings that we receive? Just become accustomed to them. Almost to the point of where we expect them. You know, being thankful has never been more real to me in my life than it is this year. I shared with you I was taking the Thanksgiving November challenge. And I gave you the challenge last week to write down something each and every day that you can share with your family or friends that you're thankful for. And as we get ready to go towards that special day, and I'm not against that special day. I love that day. That's one of my favorite days of the year is Thanksgiving. But it's more real now because of what I am thankful for and in whom I am thankful for. You know, the Psalms are just a literal works of thanksgiving. And I want to share with you a very short psalm, but a very important psalm that focuses in our thanksgiving and who we really need to begin thanking first. Before we thank others or anybody else, or, you know, we have a place we can start. Psalms 100 is the one that I want to look at this morning. And in some Bibles, it's entitled that His steadfast love endures forever, but it's more than that. It's much more than that. And I would appreciate if you would stand with me in honor of God's word this morning. Follow along as I read, and then let us end in prayer. And the Word of God says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people. And the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. And His faithfulness to all generations. Let us pray. My Father and my God, I just thank You for this time we have today to open Your Word. And let Your Word speak to our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit this morning. And Lord God, You know the message needed in each heart here today. And I pray that that message be received from You this morning. And truly may we stand in Your presence and say it has been good to be in the house of the Lord. In Jesus' precious name I do pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. For me, as I look at this psalm, it kind of naturally dissected for me. Because it talks about things that we need to express from ourselves to the Lord God. And we can see those things being outlined in verses 1 and verse 4, or 1 and 2 and verse 4. Because now listen to this, when we think of thanksgiving, we come together, we joyfully enjoy the family, we enjoy our friends, but how often do we place God in the center of our thanksgiving? You know, in Psalms, the psalmist says here, first of all, we need to make a joyful noise to the Lord. That's why no one is exempt from singing. Amen? You know, God hears the purest sound from the worst voice if it's sung with genuineness. Amen? Do you understand what I'm saying? It is music to his ears. And to me, that's what it means. I do okay, but I'm far from being a professional, let me tell you. And you know what? Those of you who enjoy praising and making a joyful noise, it is something we can do in thanksgiving to our God. Amen? That's why we sing in church. He says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. That's thanksgiving too. How many of us here today really enjoy serving God? Think about that for a moment. Really enjoy it. Even when things get a little trialed and tough, then do we enjoy it quite as much? That's a good question. Yesterday was not a real good one of my top dollar days, as somebody saw in my November thing, thankfulness. And it's hard to think of something to be thankful for when you're not really feeling very thankful for much of anything. But you know what? God broke through all of that, and I can be thankful even for the things that are tough and trial, because he makes me stronger and better through it. Amen? So we can be thankful. We need to serve the Lord with gladness. It's not always easy to serve. It's tough to serve. All the places that he calls us to serve are not the places we want to be. But who do we serve? Do we serve God, or do we serve self? My Bible tells me I serve him. And I need to have a glad heart as I serve him. That's all a part of thanksgiving. He also says here, come into his presence with singing. He loves us in his presence. Now, how many of you ever thought about that before? He loves to have us in his presence. That's why I believe the Bible says where two or three are gathered together in his name, there he is in the midst of them. He loves to be in the presence of his people. You know what breaks my heart is so many today are thankful about everything, about the day, but they leave him out of it. They leave God out of it, the one to whom we really need to be thankful for. We need to come in his presence. He loves us there. Well, if we jump to verse 4, we're now kind of given a command, because he says, enter his gates with thanksgiving. I don't know what that means to you, but I'm going to tell you what it means to me. It means to me that when I enter into his presence, I enter into his gates, the most rejoicing part of my heart needs to be one of thanksgiving. That's how I need to approach him, with thanksgiving, not complaining, not grumbling, not singing the old self-centered, oh, woe is me story, but being thankful. And I'm going to tell you why, because I've got in this little passages here, there are 7 things outlined about what we can be thankful for. But he says, first of all, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Have you seen the tie together between thanksgiving and praise in so much of what God's Word says? When we praise him, we are singing thanksgiving to him. And when we're singing thanksgiving to him, we're praising him. Amen? We have so much to praise him for. And then he finally says in verse 4, give thanks to him. Bless his name. Why, when we think of these things, do we desire? And I put the word desire there. I believe every believer should desire to be thankful to the Lord. So what are the 7 things that I saw in here that I can be thankful to God about? Well, the first one is outlined right there in verse 3. Know that the Lord, he is God. Amen? I am thankful the Lord is God, that I don't serve other gods. You see, that's a problem even in America today. So many Americans are serving other gods. What does it mean to know that the Lord is God? It means that I know he is in everything of my life. 4 things that I outlined that I am thankful because he is Lord is, first of all, is that I know he answers prayers. Amen? We can go before him when we are in the right heart and spirit, and we can pray because we're not praying amiss, as the book of James says. We're praying right where we need to be, and God answers our prayers. I've never seen anybody pray to their car and have their prayers answered. I've never seen anybody pray to their bank account and have their prayers answered. Never seen anybody pray to their spouses and have their prayers answered. It's because they are not gods. There is but one God, and his name is Jehovah. Amen? Also pronounced Elohim. This is our God. The name that has no vowels, that is really unpronounceable. We call him Yahweh. But you see, we put the vowels in there because his name cannot be pronounced. That is the God to whom I am so thankful that he is Lord. Now, not only do I know he answers prayers, but I know that he protects. He protects. Oh, we've gone amiss here so much. We believe that it's our nation that protects, that it's our government that protects, that it's others that protect. My Bible tells me that my God is my watchtower. He is my strong tower. Amen? And by being my strong tower, it means I know he protects me. Even in the deepest, darkest places, he protects me. Now, I know what some say. They say, well, look at, you got hurt, or look at, this person died. So, what does that mean to the believer? That they're in heaven just earlier, that's all. But there are times that God has literally stood in the place. Let me give you an illustration of this. Now, some Christians today don't like to think about demonic forces, but I'm here to tell you they're real, and they are here. My wife and I and kids and grandkids, we were at the Albuquerque Zoo, and we were just walking through there, and there was a gang of gothics, and they were just doing all kinds of hoopla. And well, if you know anything about gothics, they worship, many of them, the other god that they think is a god. Well, my wife accidentally bumped into one of the young women there. And as this young woman turned around, she glared and was going to attack my wife, even though my wife said, you know, I'm sorry. And as she came at him, my wife said she experienced something she never felt in her life, and that was something come between them. And that girl stopped in her tracks just like that. She never said a word. She turned around and she walked away. Don't tell me my God doesn't protect, because I know that he does. And you may accept it, you may not accept it. It doesn't matter, but I know it's real because I was standing there when all of this took place. I know he, Lord is God because he protects. Amen. I also know that the Lord is God because he forgives and has given me eternal life through his son Jesus Christ. Amen. We can be here today as born again believers because he has forgiven us of our sins. Amen. Isn't that something we can really be thankful for this morning? I would pray so. The fourth thing that I saw that is so important is his word, and I quote this a lot. Lord is God because he says he will never leave me or forsake me. Amen. And you know what that means simply is that he's always by our side. He's always with us. He never, ever. That doesn't mean we depart from him, that we don't depart from him. Doesn't mean that we don't leave and take ourselves out from underneath the umbrella of God's protection many times in the choices that we make, because we do. But when we are where we are supposed to be, he never, ever leaves us or forsakes us. Others will. Those that we once timed as friends, those that we believe that would be there beside us every moment of every day, you have a relationship in Jesus Christ and find how quickly that they will leave your side because they don't want any part of what is real. You see, Lord, I am thankful that my Lord is God. Amen. Well, not only is he God, it also tells us in verse 3, he says, know that the Lord is Lord, he is God. It is he who made us. He is also creator. Amen. And I don't have to say a lot about this. You know my position on this. You want to know why we have the killings and the murders and the rapes and the things going on today? Is because people, our kids, are being taught that they crawled out of a swamp and they have no value. They have no purpose. I thank God there he is a creator because he's given me value and he's given me purpose. Without it, is it any wonder we're in the shape that we're in? He is our creator. Nothing else could make us. And you know, because God has become less of a creator, even in the church today, I am not anti-animal, but I am anti-raising animals above humans. God didn't create them above humans. Humans have now elevated them even above the unborn. Save and spend $1 million to save a whale, but kill as many babies as you want to because you call them fetuses. You see how this works? It's because there is no value to life. It is because we believed that we just are here by accident. And when we believe that, my friend, there's no purpose in life. Eat, drink, and be merry is what the Bible says the philosophy is when we have that kind of thinking. And that's the way it is. Not for me. I am thankful that I know I was fearfully and wonderfully made, as Psalm says. Amen. You were fearfully and wonderfully made. You were known from the foundation of the world. God has some great things for you. Hold on to him? Will you thank him? Will you enter his gates with thanksgiving and praise? Amen. Well, that's the second thing. The third thing is that in this passage, it says, and we are his. The Lord is my father. I have an earthly father that God allowed to use to bring me into this world. But you know what? I really have only one father, and so do you. And he reigns from above. And as our good earthly fathers would do, our heavenly father does even better. Amen? He never, ever loses sight of you. You understand that? Sometimes we understand as parents how we can lose sight of our children. Maybe some of you had it happen like we have, where your children wander off in a store and the next thing you know, you're wondering where they are. Maybe some of you haven't, but I have, and it is the most weirdest, horrifying, terrible feeling I've ever had in my life. But you know what? I am thankful because God never loses sight of us. And why? Because he is our Father. He is our omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent Father. All-powerful, all-knowing, all-present Father. And he watches over us every day. Even before we were saved, he has his eye on us, leading us, trying to bring us to him. He won't force us to trust him. He won't force us to believe in him. But I thank God that the day that I realized that my sin was greater than I can stand, I found him. Amen. And he's never, ever, even in my days of wandering out from underneath that umbrella of protection, he never left me. He was there. There's been many times I should not be here today. And some of you can attest to that in your own lives. You should not be here. But you're here because he's your father. a father loves his children. Amen. Well, not only do we see that he is our God, he is our creator, he is our father, but it says also we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. He is our shepherd. Jesus is called the great shepherd. He is the one who is in the midst of the sheep, us, caring for us, watching us, guiding us. We're not left out there for the wolves. That's real love. You see, I don't know if we understand how much that really tells us of how much God loves us. He loves us so much that he, in the form of his son, came down to die a death he didn't deserve. We did. And his blood was shed so we could live. Amen? And now Jesus shepherds us. I am nothing more than a sub-shepherd. Okay? I've been called to lead and pastor the church, but I'm still not the shepherd. I am just a called shepherd, hopefully praying, continuously listening to the shepherd's voice. Amen? As he leads me, he leads you. You see, he doesn't, when I preach, he gives me a message that he's going to, by the power of his Spirit, lay on all people's hearts. I couldn't preach a sermon that would touch everybody. I couldn't do it. But he takes his words and he lays them on your hearts to speak to your life specifically. Amen? That's his shepherding of you. Amen? That's his shepherding. That's his watch. That's him hearing what you need and giving you what you need. That's what it is. Can we not be thankful? If Jesus was not our shepherd, we would be as the world is out there, just being tossed to and fro. We wouldn't know where to go. We wouldn't know what to do. We would be grasping at straws, grasping at anything that we would hope would give us stability, give us security. It's easy to criticize the world. It's easy to criticize the lost. But understand something about the lost. Most lost are just searching for security in their lives. That's why it's the church's responsibility to be a mission to the lost people and to share and give to them the good news of the good shepherd, that he loves them. If we don't do it, then we have neglected our duty as a church. You see, folks, when we go out to Tucson Mountain today, it isn't just about a meal. It isn't just about a fellowship. It's about witnessing by eye what other ministries are doing. So we can pray for them. So they can pray for us. Do we not desire their prayers? I do. Just as much as I desire your prayers as your pastor to help me continue to get through the things that I got to get through. Just as much as you desire my prayers every day for those in this congregation. Yes, for physical things, but more for spiritual things. The body's going to fall off someday, and the Bible says, be prepared for the next place. The body's got to drop, folks. It has to. It cannot enter heaven in its present condition because it is sin-ridden. We're going to get an incorruptible body, amen? One that never is destroyed, one that is never can be corrupted. This is what we have been promised. Jesus, the good shepherd, who shepherds us, has made that promise to his people, amen? Let me ask you a question this morning. Are we letting Jesus really shepherd us? Or are we telling Jesus what we want to do? Are we telling Jesus what we're willing to do, but what we're not willing to do, because what we're not willing to do may be what he is telling us he wants us to do? Amen? Understand? We want to do the easy. We want to do the less committed. That's why many people, it's easier for them to give a buck or to give their offering than to stand up and teach a class. But you know, my Bible tells me we need to be available in every area of our life. Amen. Every area, not just one area, or not just something that we can use to appease the mind. And it works the other way too. Well, I work 90 hours a week, so therefore I don't have to give anything of my finances because you know what? I give so much of myself. It don't work that way. Everything we do must be tithed to God. Everything. Our time, our talents, our monies, everything must be tithed to God. That's a good steward. Amen. Not my words. Those are His words. The question is, will we be obedient to His words or not? So, number four, Jesus is our good shepherd. Number five, we find in verse 5 that for the Lord is good. I am so thankful that my God, my Lord, is good. And you don't want to know why I can say that? Because my God can't do evil. James tells us that. So if something's happening that's evil in your life, first of all, ask if it's not temptation coming from the enemy. And number two, you're surrendered to that temptation through your own flesh. Because God does not tempt us with evil. He does not. My Bible tells me my God is good. And you know what also the Bible says? That there is only one that is good. No one else is good. I want to be a good servant of the Lord. But guess what? I'm still not good. I've still got the flesh. I've still got the taunting, the temptations, just like you. I'm still not good. There's only one that is good. And it is His goodness through His Son that has impugned my unrighteousness with His righteousness. Amen. If you never get anything from my ministry, I hope you get that. Understand that if we still believe we could stand before God in our own righteousness, we're unacceptable. Because our righteousness, no matter how great you and I may think it is as filthy rags. We stand in the presence of our God in His righteousness. And it is His righteousness that makes us whole. Amen. It is His righteousness that shows us the goodness of our God. His Father, who is now our Father. Our God is good. There's so much a person could say about the goodness of God. You can say, well, look at what He did to the nation of Israel. God was still good in what He did to His people. He was good because He was trying to show them, He was saving them from a worse fate to come if they didn't come to obedience. That's what He tries to do. That's what He's doing in our lives as well. His goodness, we may misunderstand and say, well, it's His wrath or He doesn't love us. No, it's all about His love. But even the Father who loves His children sometimes has to take a switch to them. And we are no different. When we get arrogant, arrogance not so much my problem, stubbornness is my problem. Anybody else relate to that? Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, Lord, I hear you. Yeah, Lord, you're right. But you just got that thing crawling right up your back that says, you know, Lord, but, you know, let me think about it. Wrong answer. Wrong answer. Why do I need to think about what it is God is leading me into doing? He's good. He's not going to lead me into something that is not going to bring glory to Him and bring a positive light to my testimony as His child. Amen? Don't we want that as God's people? Don't we want our little light to shine as that song we learned in Sunday school was? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Don't hide it under a bushel pick or under a bed or, you know, don't do those things with it. God wants us to shine before the world. Don't you want to shine before the world? Our God is good. Well, not only does verse 5 say that our God is good, but it also says that our Lord's mercy is everlasting. Oh, how many can give me a hearty amen on that? Let's try that again. How many say amen to that? His mercy for you lasts forever. Stumble, fall, right on your face, do the nose skid, doesn't matter. He still loves us. And if we will but turn over, look up and say, God, I have sinned, forgive me, He'll raise you right back up, dust you off, and keep you going. What He did to Israel was to show them His love. And He still loves them. He's not through with them. He made a covenant to them. He made a covenant to us too. Guess what? We may break covenants. We may break our word. God never breaks His covenant with His people. That's why I stand here this morning saying that my hope and my confidence is in the fact that one day my Jesus is going to return, and whether I be in the grave or whether I be standing, I'm going to be with Him forever and ever. Amen? Amen! Hallelujah! You see, because God's love, His mercy is everlasting. Oh, if we could grasp that. If we could really example that in our lives to other people. That our love isn't conditional. That we don't love somebody just because. We don't love them just because they're our children and something we have to do. They may be like a thorn in our side. So we're only going to love them when they're on the good side and the thorn's pulled, right? But the minute they shove that thorn back in there, whoop, I'm done. That's what we do so many times. That's not the way it works. I have pushed a thorn in the side of my Jesus too, but He never stopped loving me. His mercy endures forever. Are you thankful for that this morning? Boy, I am. Don't worry. Only got one more to go. In verse 5, he winds up saying simply this, and His faithfulness to all generations. Now, in some Bibles it says His truth. Don't get freaked out about it, because truth can be translated faithfulness as well. I got to really thinking about that. Truth, faithfulness. I am promised that until the rapture of the church, that He is going to guide His word for generations to come. There are my generation, your generation, the generation after us, the generation after your children's children's children, if we're here that long, they're going to have the Word of God as an opportunity to come into faithfulness in His name. Amen. If I thank Him for one thing, I thank Him for that. Are we concerned about our children? Are we concerned about our grandchildren? If we are, we need to start letting our lights shine before them. Not the ugly side of us. Not the cantankerous, ornery side of us. But the side of us that truly is thankful to our God, because He is God. He is Creator. He is Father. He is Shepherd. He is good. His love is forever. And His word is faithful to all generations. Amen. If that wasn't true, and it stopped somewhere in generations past, the chances are pretty good that there's not a person that would be here in this congregation this morning even caring about God. And even as bad as the world is, even as harsh as it is, taking down the Ten Commandments and saying you can't pray in school and doing all of these different things, I'm here to tell you, I would rather obey God than man. You understand what I'm saying? I want my legacy to be what my parents' legacy to me has been. That they love the Lord their God with all their heart and their soul and their mind. And there's nothing greater than that. And when we do, as you've heard me say, we will learn to be able to love others as well. But you got to love him first. You got to love him first. It'll change us as moms. It'll change us as dads. It'll change us as uncles. It'll change us as aunts. It'll change us as grandparents or great-grandparents when we can love God that way. That's how he wants us to love him. Are we thankful? This, to me, is a powerful, great prayer of thanksgiving. Everything that I'm thankful for this year, this season, this time, is centralized upon God himself. And I pray to take that into thanksgiving for my grandchildren and my children and anyone who should be there to see and to witness. He is our all in all. Amen.